Morning to reflect on the Sermon on the Mount. We've nearly finished. Our last session on this is next week. We spent a long time going through this amazing story, and it's been good to reflect on it in different ways. Peter Midgley is going to come and read our passage, and then Val is going to come and share God's word with us. Thanks, God.
Have you ever heard people say, I wouldn't want to go to church, there's too many hypocrites there? The typical answer to that is, well, you go and you'll just add another one, that'd be great. But this passage that we're looking at today is a little bit about hypocrisy, which we understand as saying one thing and doing another, or pretending to be something we don't intend to be. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I had a look at the NIV, and I just thought that this one actually captures some things a little bit better for our understanding. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
Thank you, Peter. Hi, everyone. Good to be with you. The side heading to this talk this morning is seeking truth and recognizing lies. And this passage that Peter's read for us highlights to us the challenges of living in a world so full of deception. And it's good that we're constantly reminded in God's word, in the Bible, but also in the press, through our bank, through institutions that we have dealings with, to look out for the ferocious wolves coming to our doors in sheep's clothing. And our doors today are the internet, our mobile phones, our landlines, people who befriend us that seem to be innocent, but actually their motives are not. And Jesus is not intending by this passage that we should go into fear, but that we should seek the truth and recognize the lies. Of course, the father of lies and deception is Satan. And whilst I'm not going to talk about him directly, we recognize him for what he is and the chaos that he causes, and that he will rise up in these end times. But Revelation 17:14 tells us, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Jesus warns us not to be deceived and fall into temptation, but to stand firm in our faith as those who are called, chosen and faithful. Perhaps I could have the first slide up. There are three warning keys from Jesus that will keep us on track. And I'll be using a lot of scriptures, so if you want to jot some of them down, because I'm not putting them up on the screen, and then maybe spend some time just looking at them and thinking about them. So these are the warning keys, three of them, that I'll talk about. Watch out for false prophets. That's verse 15 of our passage. Number two, recognize the fruit, good and bad fruit. And this passage says, by their fruit you will recognize them. And it's mentioned twice in the passage, which means Jesus really wants us to take note of what he's saying in verse 16 and in 20. And the next slide, please. And then in Matthew 27, 21 to 23, I've called it passing the kingdom of heaven test. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Thank you. That can come off. In John 18, verses 37 to 38, Jesus said, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. What is truth? Pilate said. I think that's a really good question, and one that we should all be asking ourselves today. And thankfully, as children of God, we have the truth in God's word. But so often, we get swept up into what the world is saying. God is urging us to apply his word. And this is what's been so good about this series that we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Applying God's word is a vital part of our relationship with God. It enables us to grow in faith, to trust God, and to learn to obey and submit ourselves under his lordship. Everything that we hear or say should match up to God's word. God's truth. And the Bible is our plumb line for living a godly life. God's truth is life. Psalm 119 verse 60 says, all your words are true. And Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need God's word in our heart. We have to actually read it or maybe listen to it on audio before we can have it in our heart. So let's dig a bit deeper into what Jesus is saying to us today. Watch out, be alert, be wise, not in our own eyes, but in the wisdom of God. You know, false prophets were very common in the Old Testament times, saying what the king and the people wanted to hear, but claiming that they were speaking out God's message. False teachers are just as common today. Jesus says, beware of those whose words sound religious, but who are motivated by money, fame, or power. And you can always tell who they are because they minimize Christ and glorify themselves. Very recently, a friend sent me a recording of a prophetic word. The prophecy was a mixture. Some seemed good, but other parts were suspect. Then at the end came the call for money. And for me, this man's message were soulish and not fully godly. The prophets need to be listened to, but it's up to us to use discernment as indicated by Jesus in this passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 22 says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." And Jesus warns us as we approach end times that there will be an increase in deception. So we need to watch out, be alert, and recognize it for what it is. Matthew 24 speaks about end times, verses 4 and 5. "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." And in Luke, which speaks of the same thing, Luke adds in his, "Do not follow them." And Matthew 24, verse 24 said, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. See, I have warned you ahead of time." And thankfully, we have the truth, and Scripture tells us that we can trust God and his word. And we come to know the truth of God's word by reading and understanding the character of God, and from our own testimony of God's trustworthiness. Holy Spirit testifies these things to our spirit as we journey with God. And John 16:13 says, "The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth." John 17:17, Jesus prays to the Father, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." The word here that is used is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Not true, as you might expect to read. And Jesus is saying, God's word is not only true, but also truth in itself. And Titus 1 verse 2 speaks of God who does not lie, referring to the knowledge that the truth leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Because God is a God who cannot speak a lie, his words can always be trusted. Hebrews 6:18 mentions two unchangeable things, God's oath and his promise, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Here the author of Hebrews says not only does God not lie, but that it is impossible for God to lie. And in this case, we can read for ourselves how God's oath and promise is true. And we witness these things in our own life. Proverbs 35 says, "Every word of God proves true." Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." God's word does not change, nor will it change, because it's fixed in heaven for eternity. So God's words are the ultimate standard of truth. And sanctification is growing in the truth, and our hearts and minds are purified as we read the truth of God's word. Holy Spirit, through Scripture, points out sin, motivates us to confess, repent and seek forgiveness, renewing our relationship with Christ and guiding us back onto the righteous path. John 14, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to us all. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So in answer to the question, what then is truth? Truth is what God says. And we have that, and we have that truth. We have what God says in our Bibles. The second pointer that Jesus gave to us in this passage was, by their fruit you will recognize them. We learnt earlier in this series about judging and criticizing others. So we know that we cannot reliably judge or judge others' motives. So Jesus has given us a solution. Know a tree by its fruit. I've been looking for a builder to do some work on my house. So many of them are advertised in the local press, in things that are slipped through the door. But many of us will have been caught out, let down, overcharged, had awful work done that's created work on top of that. I can see from your faces that I'm not alone in working your way through this maze of things. Where do you look? Well, we ask people who we trust if they can recommend somebody who will give us a good service. By their fruit, they will be known. This is such a good biblical principle to apply to everything that we put our mind to and our hands to. 1 Kings 17:24 speaks about the widow whose son Elijah was brought back to life. And the widow said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." When we speak the truth and hold to that truth, then God works through us and good fruit is the outcome. We need to be a people of integrity who stand by our word. Not like the workman we often come across. Fruitfulness takes many forms. We can read in Luke 13:6-9, when Jesus calls for repentance and tells the parable of the fig tree that was not bearing fruit. Repentance and forgiveness are an essential part of Christian life and is one of the fruits of a true faith. Could you just pop the next slide up, please? And 2 Peter 1:5-15 gives us clear guidance on how to become fruitful Christians, where he speaks of goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And verse 8 of that passage says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm sure all our desire is to be fruitful. And that passage goes on to make every effort to add to your faith. You know, to build up these virtues takes effort. It's a strenuous activity. And then we can turn to Galatians 5:19-24. The acts of the flesh are obvious, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm sure all of you will know these off by heart. No, it's the previous one. Yeah, not ready to move on yet. Thank you. There we go. Love, joy, peace. You can speak them out. Goodness, forbearance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. You know, God's purpose for each of us is to be fruitful and multiply. And it was the command and promise of God to Adam, Abraham, Jacob, and their descendants, and that includes us. And fruitfulness is the sign of life. It's a source of joy that brings fulfillment of purpose, as we read in the very first psalm. We remain fruitful by feeding from what is good soil that contains truth, faith, belief, obedience, repentance, forgiveness, and healing. And the Bible speaks a lot about trees and fruitfulness. Psalm 92:13-15 gives us wonderful truths about being a tree that bears good fruit. But now we can move to the next slide that shows. And the converse is true. We will bear bad fruit if we draw from bad soil that contains lies, deception, unforgiveness, rebellion, unbelief, out of our wounding and abuse. If we're not walking in the truth, then the axe is already at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So we need to be ready to allow God to prune us and take away, remove all the dead wood in accordance with John 15. So that picture can come down, thank you. And the third area that Jesus speaks to us about in this passage is what I've called passing the kingdom of heaven test. Not everyone who professes to know Jesus will enter the kingdom of heaven. If we cannot trust fellow believers, who can we trust? But professing to be a believer does not exempt any of us from being deceived. We can all believe lies by putting them into our truth drawer based on our own experience or what we have been taught. And here's the challenge for us all. Ask God to show you what lies are in your truth drawer. If we're holding on to beliefs that are not in the Bible, we need to acknowledge these lies and replace them with God's truth. And if you need help through prayer, I'm sure one of the prayer team will be very happy to help you. 1 John 4 gives us really good advice about testing every spirit so that we recognise the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And the test is to compare what is being taught or spoken with the clear teaching that is in the Bible. So 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist that even now is in the world. You, dear children, are from God. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." And in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, the Berean Jews were commended because after they heard the teaching of Paul and Silas, they examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. Let's just have the last slide up, please. So the best advice you can receive, anybody can give, is to read or listen to the Bible for yourself. Don't take another person's word for it. God gave us his word so that we could know him. And it's the only way we can really know God and know his truth. Amen.